Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get the punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with John Schmelk. It is a Tuesday afternoon.
Hi, Anita.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not so good. My car got booted this morning.
Oh, that's even worse news.
Yeah, it really stinks. It really stinks. So I had to take an Uber in.
Welcome to Hoboken.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've only been there 6 years. I should know better.
Oh, man.
But yeah, after an exciting night last night, hosted, of course, a few people over for the national championship. I was actually rooting for Wisconsin. That kind of failed me as well. But
yes, 24 hours hasn't really gone too well,
no.
Has it?
No. So I wake up, I walk out to my car, and there's a big yellow boot. So that's been my morning. So hopefully yours has been better.
Well, let's turn it around with a good show. How about that?
Again, John Schmuck, Anita Marks, and, of course, you, Big Blue Nation. Phone lines will be open throughout the show. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Also, we'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. So make sure you, A, follow the Giants, at Giants, and then make sure if you have any questions or comments about the show, hashtag Giants Chat. We have a guest who's going to join us, obviously. We're going to be hot and heavy as we get closer and closer and closer to the draft, which is in Chicago, the end of April. Both John Schmelk and myself will be there. So Dan Brugler is joining us from CBS Sports, NFL Draft Scout. So Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Dane, what's going on, man? And by the way, I am holding up your NFL draft guide here. And why don't you tell the people outside, and you guys can see how big this thing is. I printed it out. It's a PDF when you buy it. But, Dane, why don't you break down for the folks out there, if you guys want to pick this thing up, and I'm telling you, it's very impressive how they can do it.
Yeah, it's 187 pages of NFL draft goodness. It's basically the last 10 months of my life wrapped up into that little PDF document. But, yeah, go to my Twitter at DP Brugler. There's a link on there. You can, figure out how to get your hands on it. And it's for people that, we all know about the first round guys, even some second round guys, but this is for, the hardcores who want to know more about the fifth, sixth, seventh rounders, and even the priority free agents that teams will be looking at. So it goes over, there's over 400 players in there that I write about. So just a lot of information, a lot of details that I focused on. And so I try to really paint a picture about each prospect, about who he is and what kind of player he might be in the NFL.
All right, so before we start talking X's and O's and really getting into the nitty-gritty in regard to some players the Giants fans should keep an eye on, I'm just curious because there's so many of you throughout our sports landscape, but everybody's mock drafts are so different. Obviously, besides the everybody and their grandmother assuming that the Bucs are going to draft Jameis Winston, the first round, the top maybe four picks, but after that, it just... It's so wide. There's such a vast range of a different perspective, and I'm curious, why is that? Kind of explain to us how do you get to your decisions, and why is it so different across the board for all the mock drafts that are out there?
Well, we're still over 20 days away, so right now it's all educated guesses. We're trying to connect dots and figure out what teams are interested in who. And it's not always, this team's top need is wide receiver, so here's the top wide receiver. It doesn't work like that, obviously. If some teams are more interested in another player, trades will mess us all up. It'll make all this a moot point. But it's something that fans love. They love to see different scenarios. And that's really the purpose of mock drafts, at least in my perspective, is to examine different scenarios and to look out. This is one possible way the first round could play out. And so when you're looking, looking at the top 10 and you're, matching up players with teams, and giving reasoning why, just educated guesses and trying to, connect the dots, like I said. And so, I'm listening to different people around the league, my NFL scouting buddies who are telling me this and that and trying to, match that with the player and the team, and it's a really long exercise that we probably spend way too much time on, but it makes for fun conversation.
Again, Dane Brugler joining us from CBS Sports, NFL Draft Scout. So I guess I'm going to go one step further with this question, and I'd say obviously I'm assuming you look at – for example, the Giants pride themselves on drafting best player available. So do you overlook the Giants' needs when you assume who you think that they're going to take, number one? And this is a two-part question. How much is this in regard to the connections you have and the information you're getting from within the organization besides being in their war room?
Yeah, it just depends on the team. Obviously, my contacts in the league, some teams are more connected than with others. Mm-hmm. And then, those teams are telling me stuff about other teams. And so it really depends from team to team. But, it's something that it can be tough when you go, best available, because then it should just – the draft should play out exactly how, the draft board says. And that's not always how it works. And you sometimes need wins out. You look at if you get lucky, then your number one need is also the top player on the board. And sometimes that's how it works, but not always. And so some teams don't always abide by that. Some teams decide that they want to reach for need. They want that top wide receiver, or they want the top cornerback or whatever. So it really depends on the team. And, you look at the Giants, for example, last year, I think it matched up perfectly. They got not only the top player on their board, but they addressed the need that they wanted to in wide receiver and Odell Beckham. And I think this year that could happen again. You look at cornerback, I think that's one of the needs on this Giants team. And Trey Waynes, if he's there at number nine, he could end up being the top player available. That's also the top player on their board.
Well, Dane, let's get into it. From what you're hearing from your NFL scouting buddies and what's going on around the league right now, how do you see those eight picks before the Giants kind of going at this point? And more importantly, who do you see and who do you believe at this point? Again, it's all educated guesses. The Giants scouts haven't even come back yet to put together the full Giants board. I know a lot of their teams are in the same situation. Who do you think is going to be available when the Giants get there at nine? And who do you think is going to be off the board that maybe the Giants would be interested in?
Well, I think we'll see pass rushers come off the board very quickly in the top eight. Dante Fowler, Vic Beasley, Shane Ray. And assuming that's what happens, the way I could see it playing out is the Giants might have their pick of the top offensive lineman on the board or the top defensive back on the board. And if that's the case, then I think both spots would make sense. Brandon Scherff out of Iowa is a name I think we see connected with the Giants quite a bit. Because it does make sense, and Brandon Scherff, I think, for a lot of teams, is that number one offensive lineman this year. He compares favorably to Zach Martin from last year, college left tackle. Ideally, I think he's best inside at guard. And then Trey Waynes at the cornerback position. We don't have that Patrick Peterson type of no-brainer corner this year in terms of elite prospects. But Trey Waynes is the closest thing to that. He's over 6 foot, ran a 4.3 at the combine. He freelances a little bit, gets himself in trouble, but he's a very solid prospect who will continue to get better with technique and discipline. And so I think Trey Waynes, with Prince Mukamara, missing half of last year, he's a free agent after this year. You don't know what his future is going to hold in New York. And then Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, he's dealt with his own injuries. So I think Trey Waynes could come in, push for a starting job right away, and then be the long-term answer at corner for the Giants.
Dane, two-part question. The two wide receivers that everyone has atop their board, Kevin White and Amari Cooper, from what I can tell, not a lot of distance between them. Where do you see them going off the board? Do you think one of them could be available for the Giants at nine? And how do you value the top defensive tackles on the board, the Sheltons, the Malcolm Browns, guys like that? Are they worth the bang for the buck at nine, or do you see them more as mid-first-round picks?
Yeah, and the wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Kevin White, depending on who you talk to, 1-2, 2-1. For me, I give Amari Cooper the slight edge just with what he was able to do in the SEC. It reminds me of a Jeremy Maclin type of wide receiver prospect. But Kevin White, no slouch. What he did this year, really no prospect has helped himself more the last calendar year than Kevin White. Really came out of nowhere to have his banner senior season, 109 catches. But he's more than just a one-year wonder. I mean, he's the real deal. He's in that Larry Fitzgerald mold. So I think there's a good chance both those guys are off the board in the top seven picks. Right now I have Amari Cooper going 8 to the Oakland Raiders and then Kevin White 7 to Chicago Bears. So if that's the case, I don't think the Giants love their choice of either of those two. But Devontae Parker, the wide receiver out of Louisville, I don't believe it's the top two receivers at the top. I think it's the top three receivers at the top. I think all three are in that conversation. Parker belongs there. He's not quite A.J. Green, but he's close. He has that type of catching radius. He's that type of athlete. He can stretch the field. He could be a big play right down the field. So I think Devontae Parker, can't rule him out for the top 10. But then for defensive tackles, Leonard Williams obviously at the top. Arguably the top player in this entire draft. He'll be off the board somewhere in the top 5.
Right.
But then after that, Danny Shelton, Malcolm Brown, and some people like Eddie Goldman out of Florida State. To me, Malcolm Brown is that second defensive tackle. I think he can legitimately play anywhere from the 0 technique to the 5 technique and anywhere in between.
Wow.
He's versatile. He's a very good player, well-rounded. I don't think he gets out of the top 20. He's somewhere in that mix. Number 9, I don't think that's too rich for a player like that. Danny Shelton, a two-gapping nose tackle. 3-4 teams are going to love him. I don't think he doesn't belong in the same plane as, Halati Nada. That's not who he is. But I think he can be, at the very worst, a two-down, two-gapping nose tackle who, at the best, could maybe be an every-down type of player. So I think both are good options. Both are legitimate top 15, top 20 players.
Dane Brugler again joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, John Schmelk. And, of course, you can find his work at CBS Sports, NFL Draft Scout. A lot of talk about Brandon Scherff. Going to the Giants at 9. If you can, kind of with your scouting expertise, give us a breakdown of him in regard to tackle, guard. What do you think his most what fit do you think would be best for him? What are the hesitations from a lot of the scouts out there in regard to why you don't think that he would go in the top 10?
Well, we know those Iowa offensive linemen are well coached. Iowa's been an offensive line factory since Kirk Ferentz showed up for the Hawkeyes. So, we know he's well coached. He's a 3-year starter at left tackle. Started 33 games there. He does have experience inside a guard, so it's not a complete transition for him if he does move inside to guard. He's a road grader in the run game. That's really his strength. He's just a mean blocker. He loves to get under pads of defensive players and drive them backwards. He eliminates bodies in at the second level. Loves to get downfield and throw his weight around. He's just a very eager blocking attitude. The finishing toughness is there. He does have the lower body quickness in a shuffle to protect the edge and stay at tackle. But you do see a little bit of tightness. He doesn't have the best range to stay on the outside. He seems a lot more comfortable inside. And so I think the same thing with Zach Martin. If you wanted to, you can keep him on the outside, and I think he can hold up. But looking at his strengths, I'm talking about Scherff, his strengths tell me that he's going to be a much better guard in the NFL. And so if you want, I think he has enough skills to survive on the edges, but and probably a right tackle, but his best position inside a guard that best fits his skill set and his mindset. He's in that conversation to be one of the safer players in this draft in terms of your hit potential, in terms of being a quality starter in this league.
And you have him at number 4 on your big board, so obviously you think very highly of him. All right, Dane, and we're joined by Dane Brugler, CBS Sports, NFLDraftScout.com. And you can go to @DPBrugler on Twitter if you want to order his draft guide. Dame, want to kind of switch gears here. Early second round, and obviously trying to target individual players at this point, not having any idea who's going to be there, is a bit of a fool's errand. But where do you see there being depth and the talent at around that 35 to 45 area overall on your big board where teams are going to find value with those early second round picks like the Giants who picked 9th overall? Where should they be looking to try to find that best player in the second round when they get there with that 9th overall pick in round number 2?
I think you look at linebacker, and there's a good chance we might not see a linebacker be drafted in the first round. Now, we might have a few pass rushing linebackers drafted, but in terms of your off the ball linebackers, your Wills, your Strongs, your Mike.
Right.
We might not have that type of linebacker draft until the second round. And so if that's the case, then that early to mid second round will be, rich with linebacker talent. Eric Kendricks out of UCLA, Shaq Thompson, Washington, Denzel Perryman, Miami. These are all players that are good players and projected as NFL starters, but not the type of players that are guaranteed to go in the first round. So I think that's a possibility. And then you have to look at safety. This is one of the weaker safety classes we've seen in a while. And so Landon Collins out of Alabama, he probably ends up in that first round. But because this is such a weak safety class, I think we're going to see a lot of safeties moved up the draft board. Because if you don't get your safety early, you're not going to get your safety. And so a guy like Demaryius Randall out of Arizona State, I graded him as more of a third-round prospect. But, scouts are telling me he's not going to get out of the second because – the depth of the safety position. You have to get your guy early. And so a guy like Demaryius Randall, who I think steps in as more of a nickel as a rookie before he develops into a starting free safety, a player that had an interesting career, played baseball and then went to JUCO the last 2 years at Arizona State. He's a very versatile, fast player who, loved to hit. There's a lot to like about Demaryius Randall there. So I think for the Giants in that second round, you have to look at linebacker. You have to look at safety with Demaryius Randall. And then wide receiver. This wide receiver class isn't as deep as last year, and it would be hard to match what last year gave us.
Absolutely.
But it's close. It's just a notch below. And so you're going to be able to find wide receiver depth at every point in the draft this year. And definitely in the second round, guys like Nelson Aguilar from USC, if Rashad Perryman, if he slips to the second round out of UCF, Doriel Green Beckham out of Oklahoma. So wide receiver has a lot to offer this year as well.
Dane, out of curiosity, what do you do during the draft and as it's unfolding? Because, like, for example, a number of people are expecting either the Bucs or the Tennessee Titans that their doorbell is going to be rung with trade offers to move up, possibly get a Marcus Mariota. When those kind of chips fall and what you anticipate to happen changes, what happens? I mean, or should we be following you on Twitter? I mean, is it a play-by-play for you in regard to, all right, well, this happened, this is what I'm anticipating now, this player now rises, this player now falls? How is watching the draft with you?
Yeah, that's absolutely, I'll be very active on Twitter, giving my thoughts. And, without, tipping ticks, I give, kind of my thoughts on, especially after trades happen, like you mentioned, and Marcus Mariota, that's the wild card of the first round. Is there going to be a trade-up? What team's going to take him? That could really shake up every mock draft, depending on how the Marcus Mariota situation plays out. I'll be active on Twitter and on the blog at CBS Sports, giving my thoughts pick by pick. And then after each day, I'll be doing, after the first day, after the first round, I'll be posting, right away a second-round mock draft, second and third-round mock draft, and then also my best available on the blog. And so, a lot of information, a lot of stuff that we'll be active with. Just follow me on Twitter at DP Brugler.
Dane, I guess this is the last one out of me. You mentioned wide receiver being deep, maybe not as deep as last year. A few draft classes are. I know before the combine, running back was considered to be a very deep class in this draft. You have Todd Gurley, eighth on your big board, which considering he's coming off a torn ACL is pretty unbelievable. I think he's the best running back in the class as well. Where else do you see this class being particularly deep? Where do you think we're going to look 3 or 4 years from now and say, wow, they got good players at positions X, Y, and Z in the mid to late rounds?
I think cornerback. I think because we don't have that Patrick Peterson type of elite corner in this draft, I think this cornerback class gets a bad rap. But I would not be shocked if we end up seeing 5 or 6 corners in the first round. We're going to see a little bit of a mid to late run in that late first round of guys like Marcus Peters out of Washington, Byron Jones, UConn, Ronald Darby, Florida State. These guys are going to fly off the board. Cornerback is a premium position in the NFL, and so all 32 teams could use more depth. And we're going to see the cornerback position, kind of every round there's going to be quality talent. And so even in the mid to late round, guys like Bobby McCain and out of Memphis, Craig Mager, Texas State, I can go on and on about there's quality talent at the cornerback position that you can find this year. And so I think running back and wide receiver are the two probably deepest positions. But then after that, a pass rusher and especially cornerback are two other positions you have to look at as strong positions, not only in the first round, but then every round as you go into the mid to later stages of the draft.
Dane, before we let you go, if it's okay, some of our viewers out there have some questions for you. Do you have about another few minutes? All right, this is from Nick. Yeah. He wants to know, Kevin White equals CPAT.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
There you go, Cordarrelle Patterson. Yes or no?
Yeah, I could see why you would say that. I think Kevin White is a lot more polished than Patterson was entering the NFL. Patterson, as we know with the Vikings, still trying to find, still trying to develop to be a full-time wide receiver, where Kevin White, to me, that's one of his strengths. He's technically sound. He's very detailed. He knows how to stack corners vertically. And then he has that my ball mentality that so when the ball's up in the air, I have all the confidence in the world that Kevin White's coming down with it. And so I think Kevin White brings a little more polish than Patterson, but I can definitely see where you want to draw those comparisons from a size, athleticism standpoint.
Yeah, Patterson's still trying to learn the pattern tree, from what I understand, out of Minnesota.
This one from Ad Big Blue Beckham. How do you see Eric Flowers? Does Eric Flowers project as a Tyron Smith type, which is saying a lot? Tyron Smith, one of the best left tackles in the league. And who do you like, guys? Who do you like better as a tackle, Flowers or Lael Collins?
Yeah, Flowers, I think, could have used another year at Miami for to add some seasoning. So he's not yet a finished product. A lot of these guys aren't. But Flowers, you have to be encouraged. He's just turned into 21 years old, just a very young player that you can mold. And he's a very sharp player, and he's athletic. You do see some stiffness. You do see some areas he needs to work on. I don't see Tyron Smith. I see more of a later first-round guy that, steps in. He might not be NFL-ready right away, but by year two, I think we're talking about a quality NFL starter. I don't know if we see a perennial Pro Bowler like Tyron Smith, but I think a consistent starter is fair with Flowers. I give the edge to Lael Collins, though. But with Lyle, it doesn't always look pretty, but he gets the job done consistently. The player out of LSU, we saw him at guard, we saw him at left tackle. He gives a consistent 100% effort every play. You see the mean streak. He sells out every play. And so I think with Lyle Collins, like I said, it might not look pretty, but he gets the job done. And I think Collins is a player that coaches are going to absolutely love in this draft class. He's going to be off the board somewhere in the top 25th.
Dane Brugler, NFL Draft Scout, CBS Sports. One other thing for me, Dane, I might as well ask you, because you mentioned them earlier. Breshad Perryman's a guy with his 4.25 and 4.26 at his pro day. Is vaulting up boards if these news media reports are to be believed. How much of his game is speed? How polished he is in other aspects of his game? And how, in the end, high do you think he's going to end up going?
Yeah, it's interesting. He lost Blake Bortles from a year ago, but he actually had a much better season this past year for your Central Florida. He was a starting X receiver, and you watch him on tape, and you see that he's oozing with potential. For a guy that's 6'2", 215, and could run as fast as he does, it's really impressive from a physical standpoint. But he is very unpolished in a lot of areas. You see too many drops off his hands. He needs to do a better job in 50-50 contested situations. And then running the full route tree, that's something that he has not mastered yet. But he is a player that, his dad, Brett Perryman, played in the NFL for a long time at receiver, so he's been getting that receiver coaching his entire life. There's a lot of things to be encouraged about, and that's why when I think it's all said and done, he's going to be in that first round. I think he could go as high as somewhere in the teens in the middle round, and I don't see him getting past Baltimore at pick 26. So, somewhere in that mid to late first round is a good landing spot for Perryman.
All right, Dane, we're going to end on this. We're going to put you on the hot seat, and that is the Tampa Bay Bucks. Right now as we speak, they're traveling out to Oregon for a personal workout with Marcus Mariota. I'm going to put you on the hot seat. I'm going to put you on the clock. You're the Bucks with the number one pick overall. Who do you take?
I'm taking Jameis Winston. The game just comes very naturally to him for a player that just turned 21 years old. I know he threw a lot of interceptions, but Florida State won. And I think that's, he didn't have to change the way he operated in college because Florida State won games. And so once he gets to the NFL, he'll add some discipline. He'll get better. I really feel that Jameis Winston, with as easy as the game seems to come to him, he will continue to get better. And then, you know, off the field, as long as you can keep him, you know, under wraps and make sure that, you know, the maturity is where you need it to be. Jameis Winston has all the makings to be a very quality NFL starter in the NFL. I compare him to a Ben Roethlisberger type of prospect. And so if he ends up being that, I think that's it's an excellent pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as long as you feel comfortable with who he's off the field.
And I should also point out that if you go to Giants.com, Dane Brugler is part of our mock draft tracker. His current pick to the Giants is Trey Waynes, and his prior pick to the Giants was Brandon Scherff, two of the guys we talked a lot about today. Dane, thanks a lot. Before we say goodbye, why don't you tell the fans one more time, if they want to get your draft guide, how they do it?
Yeah, just check me out on Twitter at DP Brugler. The link will be up there. And, you know, I promise you won't be disappointed with it. As detailed as it could possibly be, is what I try to do and try to educate everyone on these, some of these players, not only the first-round guys, but the later-round guys. So I appreciate anyone that checks it out.
Dane, we'll catch up with you again right before the draft, see where you're at, see what you're thinking. We appreciate the time, as always. Great stuff.
Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dane.
Pretty cool.
This is a pretty big book, huh?
Yeah, a lot of reading there.
But, yes.
But I mean, I do find it fascinating in regard to there's so many draft experts, so many draft scouts, you know, for the Mel Kuypers on down. And everybody's anticipating something else. And I'm just curious, how much is it that, you know, they have that inside scoop, that inside knowledge? They're in the know.
Well, here's the problem. Right now, there are no inside scoops or inside knowledge. The Giants don't even have the draft board ready yet. The guys haven't come and put together the board together, so nobody knows who the Giants could possibly pick in nine. The scouts haven't come back to put the board together.
I understand that, but
it's guesses.
But I'm sure. I guess okay. I'm sure that there are people in this building who know which way Jerry Reese is angling, or the players that Jerry Reese really, really, really likes.
Well, I know one person that knows that, Jerry Reese.
Of course. But I'm saying, you know, there's, you know, this is, we're getting close to the nitty gritty. There's teams out there and there's people within organizations that know which direction they're headed, that know which players they really value.
That's fair.
And so, you know, our industry, you know what it is. Our industry, it's all about who's, you know, who broke it first. Is it Schefter? You know what I mean? Is it La Canfora? You know, so. It's all about who you know and getting that information. And is it? I guess my question is: does it still hold true for those that are overseeing this draft? It very well could be. You know what I mean?
My guess is that teams have an idea of who they like at this point, but until they sit down and do their final board, and that's why at this point, as Dane said when you asked the question, I thought it was a great question. That right now everything is an educated guess. Nobody knows anything yet because I don't think any final decisions have been made yet. So much can still change in 3 weeks. You know. You know, it came out just, 10 days ago that Randy Gregory, you know, got found out he tested positive at the combine. What happens if it happens to another player? You know, things can change.
PJ Williams, DUI.
Exactly. Things can change between now and draft day. So a lot of things are still up in the air. And I think, you know, these guys that are, you know, quote-unquote experts, as they move forward, they talk to more people. They do more evaluation. You know, people are still looking at games. People are still looking at tapes. People are still going to pro days, which are still going on right now. So a lot of things can change. You mentioned the Bucs are going out there to not only do a private workout at Mariota, but sit down. And they're probably going to do the same type of stuff that Gruden does with them on his ESPN stuff.
Have you been watching that?
You know what? I have him on my DVR. I haven't watched him yet.
Okay. Just curious.
Honestly, those kids rehearse for that, the same they rehearse for these interviews. So to me, you have a hard time. You have to kind of sift through what's real and what's not. So you can get a sense for what type of person I think these kids are, but
I like when Gruden draws up like a defense and then he puts them up on the board and he says, Okay, well, draw a play that's gonna counter this defense. I like when Gruden does that.
Yeah, is good. I agree.
All right. Well, our phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Obviously, draft heavy, and we will be for the next few weeks as we get ready for the 2015 NFL draft. So let's kick it off with Chris calling in from New Jersey on line one. Chris,
what's going on, pal?
Hey, John, Anita. How's everybody? How was your holidays?
It was good, Chris. How about yours?
Very well. Nice and quiet with family, as always.
That's what I like to hear. What's up?
I'm just going to throw out the first and second round to you, who I really feel. And again, I'm putting my general manager hat on. Okay, and I'm going with the best available and the high-quality value pick. And you know what? I really believe the two quarterbacks are going to be gone. Cooper and White are going to be gone.
Okay.
Williams is going to be gone. Fowler's going to be gone. Okay?
I agree.
You know, 7, 8, 9, okay? And there's Beasley in there. There's Dupree in there. There's Parker in there. There's Waynes.
Shane
there's
Ray.
Some nice picks, right?
Shane Ray's in there, too.
Right, right. Ray's in there, too. I'm going with Parker. I think Parker, with another big wide receiver on the Giants, will do a couple of things. Once, he's a monster. His radius of catching the ball is great. He's a great size, 6'3", 215. He's got the speed. And his route tree is exceptional. Exceptional. And he doesn't drop anything. Now, I'll tell you why I like the wide receiver, then I'll go to my second round.
Okay.
I like him because he's going to do a couple of things for the defense that's opposing us. Number one, you have Beckham on the outside, and you have Parker. Now, I believe Randall's not going to be here next year. I'm trying to be a genie on that one. I think it's his last year. I don't think he's developed as best as we thought he was going to be. And I think a guy like Parker and Beckham does two things. One, it eliminates the 8 in the box. Because you got to bring another guy up, right, to protect these guys. So that box of 8 is eliminated. And number two, I think it increases our run. It gives us a better run formation and a run the ball a lot better. And hopefully we'll get a nice guy in the second round. That's why I like the wide receiver. As far as there's too many wide receivers to throw the ball to, I don't believe in that. I believe in speed. I believe in the pass game. And that's just my opinion.
No, Chris, I hear you, but you do agree with the fact, theoretically, and again, we don't know what's going to happen with Victor Cruz with the knee injury. If he does come back and he is himself, and they got all three wide receivers out. They got like Shane Vereen, who you want to throw the ball to 50, 60 times over the course of the year. You have a guy like Larry Donnell, who did a lot of damage last year. How many times did Eli Manning throw on the ball in a game? 50?
Well, you know what? I think if you were to sit down with George Young today, and I mean this, I'm a little nutty maybe, but if I were to sit down with George Young, okay,
uh-huh.
I think he would change his future philosophy of football and how to pass the ball. It's really becoming a passing league. It really is. Look at the set of wide receivers last year and this year. I have never heard of amount of talent as this in my God, in all the years I'm watching football.
Oh, Chris.
10, 12, 15 guys. It's becoming a passing league, I think, John.
No, Chris, and I agree with you. I think it certainly is a passing league. But I think if you go around the league, can you find a team that has three wide receivers all giving top production at the same time? I think it's a hard thing to find just because there's only so many footballs to go around.
Well, I think in this particular offense, this West Coast offense that we have, okay, where everything is time precision, and we all know it's time precision, okay, and it's quick bing, bing, bang, boom, bing, bang, boom, bing, bang, boom. You throw it around. Look at Green Bay. How much does it, who's it running back up there? Lacy, I think?
Yep.
How much time does he really run up there? Really, think about it. And it was my pick last year. I would have picked Lacy last year myself, but I'm happy with Williams.
All right, second round pick, real quick, Chris.
Now, my second pick, because I know you have a lot of calls. I appreciate your opinion, too, John. I do.
I appreciate you calling, Chris. Go ahead.
I like Tomlinson in the second round. I know he's a little deep down there, beyond 40, and I really don't call it a reach.
I don't think that's a reach.
Tomlinson, I think, is 6'6". He is a run blocker. He's a nasty run blocker. He has a tendency of, as a power block, he'll run over you. He does do zone scheming. He can learn that very well. And you know what? These guys, even Azarius Smith, another guy, even him, okay, there's a guy who hasn't given a sack in 2 years. He's another nasty run blocker. So I'm looking at and Tomlinson can go to guard. That's why I'm not too happy with Sheriff. He's more of a guard. But I can go to second round, get another impact player in the first, and get a good offensive lineman in the second. And that's how we're feeling right now, 1-2, John.
All right, Chris, sounds
Chris,
good.
Thank you. Thank you much. A few comments in regard to some of the points that Chris brought up.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on this wide receiving core. You've got Odell Beckham Jr., who is going into this season as the number one. You've got to anticipate that teams and defenses are going to plan for him, for example, like the Rams did, okay, just based on the season that he had. That's first and foremost. There's no guarantee that Victor Cruz is going to be 100%. There's no guarantee that the Victor Cruz is even going to be 50%. We just don't know. We don't know.
No, you don't know.
Okay, and it goes beyond just him getting healthy. There's been, and I've said this before on the show, there's been no history of a wide receiver who's come back from a tendon tear. ACL all the time, meniscus all the time, MCL all the time. Tendon tear, not that I know of.
No, but again, there isn't evidence of guys succeeding or failing at it. It hasn't been a common injury.
So I'm just saying, so we don't know. And then last but not least, I'm sorry, but I have not seen enough consistency from Ruben Randle to say, okay, Ruben Randle is a number two in this offense.
What did you think of the Giants passing in the last five games last year?
Oh, I thought, listen, Odell Beckham Jr. made this team what it was.
And he's still going to be here.
I understand that, but I just think this is going to be a different year for him. I think defenses are going to come in, and I think they're going to game plan for Odell Beckham Jr. You know, now they have an entire year of game film. I think this year is going to be much more difficult for Odell Beckham Jr. So I'm just saying that in regard to, I will not have a problem if this Giants team takes a wide receiver in the first round, whether it's Amari or Kevin White. I will not have a problem because there is no guarantee with this wide receiving corps. So that's first and foremost. And then, yes, Chris, it is a passing league, but the Seattle Seahawks are in it to win it each and every year because of Marshawn Lynch. And if you were, could you even name all the wide receivers that that Russell Wilson has to work with? No, there's a reason why they went out and they traded for Jimmy Graham, just to give him some more weapons. And that's a team that's in it to win it all the time. You look at the numbers in Vegas. Vegas is expecting the Seattle Seahawks to be back in it again this year. And number two, I'm sorry, no disrespect to Tom Brady, but he stunk it up in the Super Bowl. If it wasn't for the rushing attack, the Patriots would not have won. So I don't think Tom Brady had a great.
To say he stunk it up, I think, is a little crazy.
I don't think
he did win the MVP, didn't he?
And I don't. Do you think that was deserving?
I mean, I thought he drove the team down to throw the football for two straight 80-yard drives against the best defense in football with 6 minutes to go in the game.
That
was pretty good.
You think he deserved the MVP of that game?
I thought it was a toss-up between him and the wide receiver.
Wow. So that's shocking to me. But
to say he stunk it up in a game that he won the MVP and had the game-winning touchdown with 3 minutes to go is a little bit shocking to me.
I say stunk it up because I have an expectation for Tom Brady, and he fell way short of it in the Super Bowl. I don't think that they won that Super Bowl because of Tom Brady. I think they won it because of Edelman, and I think they won it for, of course,
who was throwing the ball to Edelman?
The game. Yeah, but Edelman was making unbelievable catches. And on top of that, their rushing attack kept them in the game, and the defensive play at the end. But I don't want to argue. That's not the point.
Yep.
The point is, yes, it's a passing league, but you got to look around the team and look at the teams. He mentioned Eddie Lacy. Go back last season and look at when the Green Bay Packers really started playing well. It's when Eddie Lacy got a concussion the first game of the season against Seattle. Now, he really stunk it up the first four games. I know I owned him in fantasy football. I mean, he destroyed me in fantasy football. There were people who were like, "What are you, Anita, why'd you tell us to draft this guy? He stinks. He's horrible." And then finally, he kind of got over the concussion. And then the Green Bay Packers were just rolling over people once Eddie Lacy got healthy. So even though it's a passing league, and yes, Green Bay Packers arguably have the best quarterback in the NFL on their roster, but you need a solid running game in the NFL to win ball games. You really do. So
no, 100%. And look, that's a big focus for the Giants too. And I agree. If you get to nine and you're the highest player on your board is a wide receiver, you want to pick one. That's fine. I have no problem with it. But you have to worry about one thing. To me, when you ended last year. And you listed your issues like A, B, C, and D, why the Giants struggled in 2014. To me, wide receiver is way on the bottom of that list. There's a lot of other things that you had to focus on getting better. Running the football, stopping the run, more consistent pass pressure, consistency in the secondary because of all the injuries. And to me, those were a lot of the number one issues on why the team struggled last year. And I agree. I think it is going to be a lot harder for Beckham this year. I think you're 100% right about that. Absolutely.
That game against the Rams, he should expect that each and every game.
But remember, he did still finish with 148 yards and two touchdowns in that game.
And that's just because of respect.
Of course.
I mean, he has his talent I mean, there's so much respect out there for him that defenses are going to plan to eliminate him. It's like the Bill Belichick formula whenever he goes up against somebody. I'm going to take their best player out of the game, and if it's against the Giants, it's Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm just leery of overloading on a strength at the expense of fixing some of your weaknesses. But again, if your highest player on your board by far is a wide receiver at 9, and that's what you do, that's fine. You got to pick the best player. I'm with that 100%. But I feel leery about loading up on a strength at the expense of trying to shore up one of your weaknesses. All right, that's my point.
Let's continue with your calls. Again, John Schmelk, Anita Marks, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to line 3. Bash is calling in from Ohio. Bash, welcome. You're on board.
What's going on, John? Hey, Anita.
Hey, Bash.
What's going on? Feeding on with the wide receiver position, going off of Chris and Anita was just talking about, I agree. The wide receiver position is a position that we may need, but it's very deep. This draft is very deep at wide receiver. I think we get a decent one in the lower rounds, possibly 3 and 4. Just looking at possibly Hardy or Jeff Hardy in the 3rd round. So this was just wide receiver is very deep at as far as getting in the later rounds.
It is.
I also
that's
had
true.
A question.
Go ahead.
I was had a question as far as the pass rushes with the top 10 possibly being 4 or 5 pass rushers. What would be the best scheme as far as the 4-3? What if running the 4-3 ends with Vic Beasley and Randy Gregory and the pass rushers this year? What will be the best fit for the 4-3 scheme with a lot of them being outside linebackers and DEs?
Well, unfortunately, the best fit's going to be Dante Fowler Jr., but I think he's going to be long off the board before the Giants go with 9, unfortunately. One guy that I think is going to go mid to late first round is Bud Dupree. Is a guy that I think fits as a 4-3 defensive end, but quite frankly, I see Shane Ray, I see Randall Gregory, Anita, and I see Vic Beasley as linebackers in the 4-3. I don't think they're bulky enough and big enough to stand up as defensive ends, in my opinion. Maybe I'll be wrong, but that's my thought at least.
Do we still have the caller?
Bash, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. Thanks, Sean.
All right, man. Thanks for the call, Bash. Appreciate it.
Let me ask you, there's been so much talk, and again, we had Dane on a little bit earlier in regard to some trading going on because of the quarterback position. Is there a defensive player that's in the top 10, John, that you feel is worthy of trading up for? Is there, besides Williams? Because
that was going to be my answer.
I know, because I'm hearing, I mean, we're hearing comparisons to Reggie White in regard to Williams.
I'll tell you what, though. And they said today that Tennessee is going to start entertaining trading that 2nd-round pick. And if that's the case, it is going to be Williams that team's going to try to target. But beyond him, no. I think a lot of those guys, maybe interchangeable is too strong of a word. But I don't think there's that big of a difference between Ray and Beasley and Gregory and those pass rushers to warrant moving up a large number of spots if you think you can get one of those 3 guys. Now, if you're sitting there, though, and you're at, like, 19 or 20, and you're a 3-4 team and you need an edge rusher, are one of those guys worth maybe moving up then if you want to give up a lot to move up? Yeah, I would entertain that. But if you're in that top 10 range, I would not move up to, like, 2 or 3 to get one of those 3 guys because I think they're all close enough in the ratings where you can get one of them and you'll be okay.
All right, let's go to line 2. Randy's calling in from New Jersey. Randy, you're on board with Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome in.
Yes, how you doing?
Hi, Randy.
Okay. Now, how you doing? I've been listening a couple of days. Well, I always been listening. I was up here a couple of months ago. Smurfs know me. I haven't called them in a while, but I'm going to show you how to build this roster. I'm going to play the GM, and I'm going to tell you, this is why I think we should pick Sheriffs in the 1st round.
All right, go ahead.
Now, look. We need another offensive lineman. We only want offensive lineman away. I will pick Sheriffs, and I will plug him in at left guard. Left guard. Put him at left guard. Put the guy that we put on drafted last year, Richburg, in that center.
Yep.
And put Schwartz in at right guard.
I like that.
Right guard.
I like that, Randy.
Don't let him play left guard. Let him play right guard and leave Pew outside at right. And that's why I said Sheriff in the 1st round, because even if we don't use him at left guard, we can always put him at right tackle and move Pew to left guard.
Okay.
I don't really like that. I want Pew to bounce back, and I think he'll have a bounce back year at the right tackle position. Now, in the 2nd round, I'm going to pick the free safety, the dude from Fresno State. I don't know how good he is. I'm just saying I know we need a free safety. And then in the third round, I'm going corner. Then I'm, because we need more depth at corner. Then in the fourth round, I probably would go
wide receiver?
Now, I would go wide receiver in the fifth round. The old girl, I don't know her name too good, but she is right. But I will say our receivers on our we need a wide receiver on our depth chart already. Let the guys that we got, let them play. Why you want to bring in more people? Let's see what we got already. You know what I mean? You went through the draft, so I wouldn't pick the I would pick the pass rusher in the fourth round. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
We need another pass rusher. Fifth round, wide receiver. Sixth round, I'll go linebacker. And seventh round, we could end it off with a D-tackle, another defensive tackle.
All right, Randy.
That's how I would do that. But I would play, get the guy Sheriff in the first round, put him at left guard, and push Schwartz at right guard. What y'all think about that?
I like your offensive line.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy. And I really like your – if you do draft Sheriff, I do like – your offensive line arrangement. I think that's if you do draft Sheriff in the first round, I think that's how I would arrange it.
Repeat it again. So he said
he would have Beattie at left. I'll go left to right for you.
Yes.
Beattie, Sheriff, Richburg,
right.
Schwartz,
right.
Pugh.
Okay.
And Darren Smith, by the way, out of Fresno State is a safety he mentioned in round number two. Now, Dane Brugler has him as a fourth or fifth round grade on him. So I think two might be a little high. I think Demarius Randall, the guy that he mentioned as a potential second-round pick, makes a little bit more sense, especially in free safety. But I'd caution this. Be careful drafting need middle-late rounds. You want to draft the best player available.
And how many, in regard to those safeties, how many of those are first-year starters in the NFL?
Oh, boy. I mean, there might not be one past Landon Collins.
Exactly.
Seriously. I mean, Dane's rankings, and I'll use his since he was on the show today, he doesn't have any safety besides Collins as a first or second round pick. He has everyone else with a third round grade or lower. But like he said, since it's a, you know, shallow position this year, teams might lift these safeties up into the second round a little bit.
Their value will early, increase because there's not a lot of depth.
It's position scarcity, to use a fantasy term for you. How about that?
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Florida. Vic is on board. Vic, welcome to the show.
Hi, Vic.
Thank you. I have to agree with the last caller. I think to be successful in the National Football League, you need a strong line, defensive line, and a strong offensive line. Receivers, I think, let them boys do their playing. I think Randall came through last year, toward the end of the year. I would take Brandon Scherf. And if he's not available, I go with Danny Shelton. That's my opinion. Because I want to see the lines in the trenches. I want to see them solidified. And that's the way you win football games. That's my take on it. Thank you very much for taking my call. And that's me.
Thank you, Vic. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call.
And you know what, though? That's the Paul DeTino way. And quite frankly, based on what Tom Coughlin said in his postseason press conference where he said, look, we have to win up front on both sides. And that's how we have to improve as a football team. So taking that tact and that strategy, I have no issue with. But like I was going to say before, just be careful drafting need in the middle and late rounds because I think that's when you get into trouble. People talk about, that's when you do target your needs. I don't think that's true because anyone you pick from rounds, I'll say five and on, four sometimes, depending on how deep the draft might be. These aren't guys that are going to come in and help you generally. Again, there are exceptions to the rule, like Devon Kennard last year, for example. But those aren't guys that are going to come in year one and be big roles on your defense, right? So these are guys you want to develop. And you never know when your needs are going to be 2 or 3 years down the road. You just don't. Remember, when the Giants drafted JPP, people were like, why do we need another defensive end? Then all of a sudden, 2 or 3 years later, he's your only established defensive end left. So I don't think you can draft middle, late round based on need because, frankly, there aren't enough talented guys out there that have, starter caliber grades, however you want to talk about it, to pick and choose. You just got to pick the best player and run with it and fit them where you can fit them.
And also, keep in mind, there will be talented players who will drop.
Obviously, yeah.
There will be talented players that will still be on the board in rounds 2 and 3 that probably teams that covet certain players will say, wow, how is this happening? How is this player available? We can't pass up on him because he's that good.
And you shouldn't either. I mean, if you have a first-round grade on somebody, don't pick somebody a different position if they have a second or third-round grade. That's crazy.
That's why I find the whole mock draft thing really interesting. How do you know? Because you don't know who's going to fall. You don't know. It's intriguing to me. Like how you assess everything. Because you don't know. Once this ball gets rolling on Thursday night, it's a wild carpet ride.
I mean, that's why when people ask me, Giants, who are the Giants going to pick in the second round? You know what my answer is? I got no freaking idea. I mean, how do I even know who's going to be there, let alone who the team's going to pick? I mean, it's impossible to predict. I mean, and now people are coming out with seven-round mock drafts. I might as well pick names out of a darn hat. I'd have just as good of a chance as getting that right as somebody doing an educated seventh-round mock draft. And again, that is no insult to the guy that's trying to do it. He's being tasked with the impossible. So, it is what it is.
Here's a tweet from Giants Nation. PJ Williams, DUI ? PDOTS is probably shaking his head in disappointment. Actually, he is. Once this news broke, I text Paul, and his text back to me sounded pretty – not that a text can sound pretty disappointed. I'm just assuming, yes, it was disappointing. But here's the positive on this. Try to put a positive spin on a DUI. It's a tough thing to do, and that is – When last time I was hosting the show with Paul, we were talking about how PJ Williams, how his value was increasing, mm-hmm. that there was talk that maybe he'd go in the first round.
Oh, absolutely.
Now with this DUI, is that going to turn teams away and then have him fall out of the first round now, making him available in the second round, and maybe the Giants do draft him at 9?
See, now that's how I look at it, because, you know, Paul was even talking about trying to get him like round 3. I'm like, Paul, you're out of your mind. That's not happening. But yes, and I look at it the same way. I think, a little bit this way. If Rolando McClain, if it hadn't come out that he was going to get suspended for 4 games this year for his drug thing, and that's not official, but that was the rumor that's out there. Is there any way the Cowboys would have been able to re-sign him for a one-year incentive-laden $2 million contract? No way. They got him on the cheap because of an off-the-field issue. Now, maybe that off-the-field issue balloons and he's not going to be an effective player and they just wasted $3 million. That's fine. But they wouldn't even have a chance to keep him if it wasn't for that off-the-field incident. And like you said, for a lot of teams now in the second round, he probably wouldn't have been there if all these rumors are correct. Now, maybe this was a one-time thing. He's a good kid. He made one mistake. It happens to the best of us. Maybe he'll be there now and a team can cash in on that. Who knows?
What I don't understand is that this is the most important time of your life, right?
Kids will be stupid.
You're making the jump from college to the NFL. You have made just a few months to behave. Don't smoke weed. Don't get pulled over for DUI. You know, no domestic abuse. I mean, can you just behave for 4 months? Because
think.
So much is riding on that in regard to your career, where you get drafted, your guaranteed money. It's amazing to me. It really is.
I have no answer for that.
let's try to rip and roar through these calls.
Yes.
201-939-4513. Nita Marks, John Schmelk hosting Big Blue Kickoff Live this afternoon, live from the Giants facility. Let's go to Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome in.
How you doing, guys? How's everything down in New Jersey?
Everything's great, Jeff. How's everything with you up there in Rhode Island?
Okay, we're doing fine, thank you. I'm just listening to the show. I mean, some of these callers are driving me nuts. Seems like they want to turn the Giants into Air Coryell. I imagine you guys must remember who Don Coryell was when he coached the San Diego Chargers.
Yes, sir.
And they threw the ball around for about 50,000 yards every year and never won anything. So my point is you still got to be able to run the ball successfully when you need to, unlike we did last year. You have to run the ball for better than 4 yards a pop. And on the defensive side, you have to be able to make a stop when you need to make a stop and win the game. You got to be able to make a play, okay? You got to pay attention to the defense.
Hey, look, Jeff, I don't disagree. And that's why I said, you know, I think one of your focuses this year is you have to get the defense better. And now that's not me saying that you have to pick a defensive player with your first pick in the draft. I don't think that's the case. But I do think there has to be a continued effort to continue to improve the defense in every aspect. And look, they've done some of that already this offseason. I think they've done a good job, especially on the defensive line, the linebacker, to provide some extra weapons there for Steve Spagnuolo to deal with. But look, as Tom Coughlin said when he spoke at the owners' meeting, there's still work to be done. And I think there will be a lot of work done in this draft on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think from where I see it, I think we need a little more help on the defensive side than we do on the offensive side, as things stand right now at this moment. So you guys have a good day, and I'll be talking to you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff, appreciate it. Let's go to Maryland. Danville? Danville, welcome in.
Hi, how you guys doing?
What up, Danville?
How are you? Quick question.
Go ahead, Danville. That sounds like a cell phone.
Oh, unfortunately, we lost him. Please try to call back.
Yeah, Danville, hustle in. If you call us back in the next couple of minutes, we will try to squeeze you in before the end of the show, all right?
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to South Carolina. AJ, you're up next.
Thanks for taking my call. I think the Giants in the draft need to focus more on Jeff's defensive side than on offense.
Want to be more specific for us, AJ?
No, the focus more on defense in the draft.
AJ, thank you for the call. I guess he's saying, you know, that he feels the Giants. Yeah, that defensively they. I mean, listen. You look at teams that have. It's very interesting when you look around. You look at teams that have success and make it to the playoffs. One thing that's truly evident is that they've got a good to great quarterback on the roster. You know, we could sit here and we could look at the teams that are in need of quarterbacks that are looking to try to, you know, the Bucs, the Tennessee Titans, of course, now the Eagles. They do have Sam Bradford, but there's some talk out there that maybe he's going to be trade bait come that Thursday night. Who knows? The Jets. I'm trying to.
You just get the feeling that Chip Kelly's not
the
done,
Rams.
You know?
I don't think Nick Foles is the answer there.
How about the Browns?
The Browns.
People talking about how they're really giving up on Manziel. I'm not sure I buy that completely, but I think if the correct opportunity came along, they wouldn't mind jumping at it.
Right. So, you know, and those teams are not making it to the postseason. So, obviously, the most important position, in my opinion, in all professional sport is the quarterback.
Oh, of course.
Again, that's just my opinion.
No, I think that's a pretty smart opinion, no doubt.
So, once you get past that, and obviously the Giants have that in Eli Manning, even though it's a passing league, and we got a few calls today about it being a passing league and wanting wide receivers – at the end of the day, John, do you still believe the notion that defense wins championships?
You know, it's funny. You go back and you look from year to year at who wins the Super Bowl. A lot of times it is actually the better defense that will beat the better offense. Now, that wasn't the case this year, though the Patriots defense, I thought, played a lot better than people give them credit for in that Super Bowl. But I think you need a balance. You're not going to win it. You're not going to win if your defense is a sieve and you can't stop anybody. You're also not going to win if your offense can't score the ball. So I think you have to have a balance, and you have to have strengths on both sides of the ball. And there are going to be games over the course of the year where you either need your offense to make a play at the end of the game to win, or you're going to need your defense to make a stop at the end of the game to the win. So I think you need a balance. I think it's very hard to win if either one of those individual units is a disaster. So I think you have to be solid on both sides. It's rare, I think, you'll find a team win the Super Bowl if their offense or defense is in the bottom quarter of the league. I don't think it happens very often.
All right, let's try to get these two calls in before we sign off for the day. Danville is back on board from Maryland. Danville, welcome back. What you got for us?
How you doing? Quick question. Do you think we'll trade up to get Surf, and do you think we'll drop a running back?
Well, I will say this, Danville. I think it would be a terrible mistake for the Giants to trade up. And that's because whoever they get at 9 is going to be an excellent player. I think the player they get at 9 will be just as talented than most of the guys that go before they go at 9. So I do not think trading up is a good idea when you're picking that high in the draft. And I think when most teams do trade up, they end up regretting it. Look, Sammy Watkins is a great player, but the Bills could have stayed put and taken Odell Beckham Jr.
Bills do not have a first-round pick at all in this draft.
Exactly. And they so, love to have it.
So what happens now? You know, you've got Rex Ryan, who any given moment is really trying to pump some positive support for E.J. Manuel. And I think, no, not a knock on E.J. Manuel, but I think it's because they have to. They have to see what E.J. Manuel can do. you know, I think they're going to go in and say, listen, we're going to run the heck out of the football with LeSean McCoy and the group of other running backs that we have in that backfield. We've got a solid offensive line. We've got an outstanding defense.
Yep.
And we just need a quarterback to manage the football game.
He'll try to mimic what they did with Mark Sanchez.
Exactly. But I don't
okay.
think, you know, but they have no other option. Because
right.
they pretty much threw away the farm on Sammy Watkins. And some would argue that Sammy Watkins wasn't even the best wide receiver taken. I mean, out in Indianapolis and talking to a lot of the scouts, they had, and everything's easier in hindsight, but they had Odell Beckham Jr. higher than Sammy Watkins. And look at all that the Buffalo Bills had to give up to draft him. So sometimes, you know, it's not so wise.
Okay. And I think that LeSean McCoy trade was stupid anyway. It's going to hurt the Eagles.
All right, Danville.
Yeah, all right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Danville. Right. And very quickly, you asked about the running back position. I'm not going to say the Giants won't draft a running back because if he's the best available player and he's higher than everybody else on the board, the Giants will take a running back. But I do not think it's a position in need. You have a young guy in Andre Williams you're developing, a veteran that's dependable in Rashad Jennings, and you just spent valuable free agent dollars on Shane Vereen, who's a great third down guy. Not to mention Orleans Darkwell, who came in late last year. Michael Cox is a young guy they're trying to develop. So running back to me is might actually be, of all the positions on the roster besides quarterback, at the bottom of my list for needs for the New York Football Giants.
I'm really excited about camp. In regard to the quarterback, I mean the running back, and I'm going to call it a competition, the running back competition, because I do believe that in this offense that Shane Vereen is more than just a third down back, and I think Rashad Jennings came here from Oakland with an opportunity to be the man in that backfield, and so I like that Vereen is here. I think that Jennings is going to come into camp with a little chip on his shoulder. I really do. And then, of course, you've got the second year with Andre Williams. So
I agree.
I think it's going to be an exciting year for the Giants backfield. Just my opinion.
If only you're still hitting tackle in training camp. You can see a lot more for running backs. That's the only bad thing with training camp with the running backs is that, yeah, you see them run around. That's great. But when you can't really hit, how much can you tell with running backs? But you're right. Through preseason, through training camp, through practice, through games, I think it's going to be a great competition between those guys. The battle for snaps, because all three guys are deserving of snaps, but who's going to earn them?
Quick story, really quick, and then we're going to end the show with Joe. So, I, as you know, I covered the Ravens for 4 years.
Yes.
And I was there when Bart Scott was one of the linebackers, and Willis McGahee had come over. It was his mm-hmm. first year he had come over, and also John Harbaugh was his first year as the head coach.
Okay.
And this was before the new collective bargaining agreement. So they were having two-a-day tackle live practices during training camp. And I was on the sideline with a photographer, and we're there. And then and so Bart Scott tackles Willis McGahee, and his tooth ended up on my sneaker. Was so disgusting. And then, of course,
were they wearing mouthpieces? I guess not. Wow.
And the staff come running over. I lift my sneaker up. I'm like, here, take it.
Did you ever touch the tooth?
No. It was on my sneaker. I'm like, here, take it. but yeah, I mean, every camp's different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, at least every camp was different before the collective
bargaining agreement. Now it's all the same because of the new rules, 100%.
Exactly. Let's end the show with Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Be quick, Joe.
Great show. It wasn't gold, was it, Anita, the tooth?
No, it was not. It was white. It was white and bloody, my friend.
Okay, I was just thinking nasty. The first day, like with people dropping, there's going to be receivers and defensive linemen. They might need some extra phones in there for you guys. Maybe you'd even be in there mounting it that first round. They're going to be calling for people who drop wide receivers in that. On a second day, I would think it'd be the running backs. And whoever else drops in the third day, it could be even the rest of the quarterbacks, really, that the Giants could use some extra phones. Just an opinion, and great show, that's all.
Thanks, Joe. And look, I agree. I think there will be opportunities to trade down in this draft. I think Peter King wrote last week, and I'll be really quick, we got to wrap up the show, that there seems to be a consensus on like the first nine players in the draft, and then the general manager, his quote to him, the 15th or 18th or 19th player on my board might be the 51st player on somebody else's. So
mm-hmm.
there seems to be a lot of parity from that middle end of the first round through the middle to the end of round number two. So I think when there's that many differing opinions on certain players, you can see some movement.
Also, one quick thought before we do end, because I spoke to a scout the other day because I wanted to find out, all right, who Amari Cooper, Kevin White, who's better? And he said, listen, really, their talent is equal. What it's gonna come down to is a team who either needs a possession receiver or a team who needs a burner. So a lot of it is, you know, they might have them ranked equal in regard to their wide receiver on their board, but what is their need in regard to their wide receiving core? That could dictate who they take. Same thing defensively. Defense. Is it a defense that's a 3-4? Is it a defense that's a 4-3? Can they use a tweener? Is a tweener going to have success? So we sit here and we can value, but also the other key in regard to the draft is how does it fit their offense? How does it fit their defense? How does it fit their scheme? It's another thing in regard to Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And a lot of the scouts that I'm talking to really kind of feel that the biggest difference here is, yes, Jameis Winston right now has better talent, but more concerned with his off-the-field issues elevates Marcus Mariota's talent because there's less issue off the field. But really the big thing is, how many offenses out there fit what Marcus Mariota is going to bring to the table? Very few. Chip Kelly. That's it, right?
Well,
San Francisco, maybe Washington. I mean, you know, that's the kind of offenses that exist that really allow that player to have success. And so that really is the big key as to why a lot of people think Winston will go number one overall, is because he fits more systems in the NFL.
Right. And I think it's also how much teams value contributing right away. Because some guys might have a higher ceiling, but maybe it'll take 2-3 years to get to that ceiling.
Right.
While the other guy might have a higher floor, lower ceiling, but he's going to be closer to his ceiling right away. So I think it all depends on what the team's looking for and how quickly they want to develop their guys.
All right. It's been a fun show.
Oh, absolutely.
Anita Marks, John Schmelk, and of course you. We so appreciate your participation. And also one last thing, if you did miss the beginning of the show, it's going to be archived. You can watch it on Giants.com.
Yes.
But our guest,
Dane Brugler.
Yeah, this is his draft book, his draft guide. And again, how can they log on and
Go to @DPBrugler. The information is there on Twitter, and you can download it. It's a PDF. I printed it out using our great Giants binding equipment here. So I have a little book here that I'm going to use from
Aren't
here on out.
Aren't you special?
Oh, yeah. I am special. That's what my mom told me.
So so we want to thank Dane for joining us. And you'll be back tomorrow, yes?
Yeah, I think it's me and Lance tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Fantastic. So everybody have a great day. Make sure you come back tomorrow high noon right here on Giants.com.
Have a good one, everyone.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get the punt.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!